Good morning. If you would turn to me in with me in the bulletin to the back page, and we'll read the call to worship. O God, you are our God. We seek you. The Lord is our light and our salvation. We shall not be afraid. O God, you satisfy our souls with a rich feast. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy, and you uphold us. Now we'll have some singing.
Well, good morning. So for the most part, I guess we think we are singing for you, not with you. But in the first song, we'd like you to sing with us, if you would. And we're going to have it projected. This is, besides being the second Sunday of Lent, it's St. Patrick's Day, right? How many of you can claim some Irish heritage? We got two.
Yeah.
I got two hands I saw. I knew Cheryl, but Rachel joins her. So this is a song sung to an Irish folk tune, also known as Canticle of the Turning. And it's written for us in the Sing the Story book, so I don't know if you've sung it or not. But we'd invite you to join us. You'll have the words up on the screen, and as you're able.
Yo!
All right, so every now and then, when Kathy has asked me to put a group together and play, and she's asked what the group should be named, and I don't have a name for her. So it's been Marv and Friends or something like that. I think Frank Stecky last June had a different name for us. But anyway, so I thought today, with a couple of substitutions, we could be called the Voth Family Singers. Except then I thought, that sounds like we have to play some old country gospel, and I really didn't want to do that. So next to that name. But for those of you who aren't aware, we've played with Lasa on the bass guitar, Linda's daughter, in the past, and she's away on a trip, and we were casting around for somebody to play bass, and Dan's name came up, and so Dan is Don's brother, if you hadn't figured that out.
He's smarter, but I'm better looking.
So Dan has joined us to play bass guitar, and we're grateful for that. And then last weekend I found out that Wayne Gunther, Isaac Gunther's nephew, who usually has played with me, was quite ill and would not be able to play today. And so we talked to Trudy, and she said she would do it. So we appreciate that. That's good. Okay. So from a praise song, the first one, we want to move then our thoughts to kind of the other songs that we've prepared for today fit with the theme of today, which has a lot to do with God's sheltering presence. So we're going to sing an old hymn in a little different style, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I checked, it's not in either of the last two hymnals that we have used, but I suspect that you still know this too. And so we'll invite you to join us on the chorus. Just come in and join in singing the chorus.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Today. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced or need to be introduced? Oh, yes, someone back there. Diane from Ottawa, welcome here. Anybody else? No, all right. We'll move into the announcements and then into the sharing time. So for the announcements I'd like to highlight was the choir rehearsals. It's number 5 in your bulletin, Wednesday, March 27th at 7, and then Sunday mornings on the 7th and the 14th for the choir. Please come out for that. And then also, I'll put on my personnel committee hat, just again about the feedback forms. We've got quite a few already. We'd like to have some more, especially from those under 60. So if you are sitting here and you're under 60, please fill out a feedback form and get it into us. And then also, there was a little confusion about the back of the form. It does say there, please fill out one of the following, the A, B, and C area. So you only need to fill out one of those. That was causing a little confusion. But otherwise, yes, thank you very much for the great response we've been getting. Does anyone else have a announcement they need to highlight, or moving into sharing time? We have some thanks here from Carol and her family for all the cards and gifts of food and support that they've felt during this time of their loss. And then we also have a prayer request for Hannah McDonald for her healing after her surgery. And then also for the James and Kim, Zacharias and Alicia and Christian, as they and a bunch of other kids and parents from Westgate travel to the Middle East this next week. So we pray for them as well. Is there anyone else who has something they'd like to share? Yeah.
Hi. I'm Adina Peters, and on behalf of Council, I would like to thank everybody that came out yesterday. It was a wonderful evening as far as I'm concerned. There were a couple of stresses that we had to deal with, but we managed to get through it all. One of the ovens was not working, so we had a bit of a problem there, but we did serve you supper, and I think you didn't realize the extra stress we were under, but it was good. I'm glad we were all there. There were 245 people that attended yesterday. We collected approximately $8,700, so I think we will clear approximately $7,000. There's usually a little bit more that comes in today, so I just want to thank everybody that baked, everybody that sweat in the kitchen. I want everybody who put the tables up and the chairs up and everything. Thank you so much. We really needed your help.
Is there anyone else? Well, let's move into our time of prayer. Tender and compassionate God, you long to gather us in your arms as a hen gathers her chicks. Draw us to yourself in love, surround us with your grace, and keep us in the shelter of your wings. We pray for those who are sick in hospital or in care homes. We pray especially for Hannah McDonald as she heals from surgery. And we pray that you keep James Kim and Christian and Alyssa Zacharias and all of those from Westgate going on the trip safe while they travel to the Middle East. And now we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now if the children want to come up for the children's story, great. Okay, today we're going to talk a little bit about
what you do when you're afraid. What do you do when you're afraid? Have you ever been afraid? Oh, wow, you guys are all brave. Well, I'm afraid quite often. That's kind of why I sit with my back to all those people, because I'm actually kind of afraid of them. So I don't like to look at them. So, but today, I brought something to help me not be afraid. Does anyone know what that is? Yes. It's a duck. Well, we're going to pretend today that it's a chicken, okay? I didn't think that you would be such good farmers that you would know the difference between a duck and a chicken. It is a duck, but we're going to pretend it's a chicken. And even just now, Elizabeth, when she was doing her prayer, she said that God wants to protect us like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Under here, in here, I've got some chicks. And when the chick is under the wing, do you think it's safe? Yes, it is safe. And that is how God wants to protect us. Now, a long time ago, all the kids knew lots about farms. We maybe don't know so much about farms, but this is one of the stories and one of the pictures that people use to help their kids figure out how much God loves them. So, today, you get to all take a little chick home, and it can help you remember that God wants to keep you safe under his wings. What do you think? Before we pray, I think Astrid and Jacob's mom wants to tell us a little bit about what's happening at the front of the church today. Hang on.
So last week, do you remember there was a Bible in a basket? And this week, what's in its place? It's a candle, a very tall candle. And so that candle is what we call the Christ candle. So it represents Jesus in our midst. And so another thing, Jesus is like the light of the world. So I have some more tea lights on there. And another thing, when you're afraid, you turn on a light, right? And the light helps us not be so afraid, because when we see what's going on, it's not so scary. So maybe I'd like to ask some of the older kids to come and take some light from the Christ candle and light the tea lights. Yes, Keely, that would be great. Astrid does not want to do it. So Ivan, if you want to help out as well, that'd be great. So you can reach in and take some light from the Christ candle and light the tea lights, and then we'll have lots of light. And just as an aside, Jacob and I were once at a farm, and the farmer taught us something about chicks. When they're under their mom's wings, they fall asleep right away. And if you take a little chick and you cover it, it will fall asleep immediately in your hands. So we feel safe and secure enough to fall asleep under God's wings. So it's just a little interesting fact about chickens.
Okay, so today we're going to try praying a different way. So we're going to, instead of folding our hands, we're going to cross our arms across our chest, sort of like a hug, okay? So, thank you, God. You are our God. Thank you for holding us and loving us. We do not need to be afraid. Amen. Awesome. So come get your chick, and then you guys can go to Sunday school.
Now we'll take the offering. Let's turn in our blue hymnals to A Wonderful Savior is Jesus, number 598. And we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away from your servant in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes or the false witnesses that rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. And from Luke 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. Surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Marv?
Well, let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll carry on with the sermon. Gracious God, we're thankful for the words that we've heard, words that remind us of protection. Guide our hearts and minds as we listen to what you might have for us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. You've noticed that there's a little bit of a chicken theme, right? And I thought it might be worth pointing out that I did spend 3 years working in a chicken hatchery in my younger days, and so I have a little bit of intimate knowledge of chicks. That kind. Well, now that we started off on that foot, in this in this series of Lent sermons, we're taking a look at ourselves, at the things about ourselves that could get in the way of our relationship with God. And we're considering how God calls us back into relationship with Him. Last Sunday, Lizzie reminded us of the wilderness, and we may have thought about how we might return toward God in our wandering. And this morning, we consider the way that God calls us toward Him when we find ourselves fearful. Our gospel text for this morning reminded me of a children's game called Foxes and Chickens. I don't actually ever remember playing this game. Anybody? No. Okay, so you can find directions on the internet, of course. In this game, one player is the fox, one is the hen, and the rest are chicks. The chicks line up behind the hen. Each chick holds on to the waist of the person in front, so the chicks holding on one to the other until the last one holds on to the hen. And then this little train of a hen and her chicks walks up to the fox, who's sitting there, and asks, "What are you doing, old fox?" And the fox replies, "Picking up sticks." And the hen and the chicks ask, "What for?" The fox replies, "To cook a chicken." The hens and chicks ask, "Where will you get one?" And the fox replies, "From your flock." The fox then jumps up and tries to catch the last person in line, has to go for the last one. The mother hen puts out her arms, turns side to side, and tries to keep the fox from getting by her, till eventually the fox manages to get to the last chick, then takes the chick away to the pot, and then the ritual goes again until the fox has caught all the chicks. And then the game's over. So, as in many active children's games, this game includes an individual chasing others and trying to catch them. There are the hunters and the hunted in this game. So as a result, I thought that thinking about such a game serves well to introduce our theme for today. So we'll be thinking about the contrast between foxes and chickens. One hunting, the other being hunted, but also protecting. We'll be thinking about the ways in which feeling hunted in our lives relates to being fearful, and how to go about looking for protection. And we'll root all of this discussion in the text of Luke chosen for today, a text that includes people being compared to foxes and to chickens. We find the fox in our text, Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, in the first verse. The fox is Herod, the ruler of the area in Israel in which Jesus is at this point in Luke's story. In Luke's story, this was starting in about chapter 9, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It takes a long time for him to get there in the story. But Luke brings Herod to our attention at this point in the story because some Pharisees, Jewish religious leaders, come to Jesus and warn him that Herod wants to kill Jesus. Jesus responds to the Pharisees' warning by telling them to convey his words to Herod, whom he calls that fox. Now, we might use the descriptor fox in a positive sense at times, but when Jesus called Herod that fox, there was no possibility that it could have been understood as a positive statement. William Barclay says that the Jews regarded the fox as the slyest and most destructive of animals. Symbolically, a fox was highly undesirable. So Jesus is calling Herod that kind of a person. We might reflect that it takes a rather brave individual to speak that way of a political ruler. What Jesus tells the Pharisees to convey to Herod is that Jesus is going to keep on doing what he has been doing, driving out demons and healing people, the signs that demonstrate that the kingdom of God is present, and he will keep on doing this until his job is finished. That seems to be the meaning behind his saying that he will do this today and tomorrow and the third day, or the next day. He says that twice. That the third day was a phrase that suggested completion. And so we recognize that this message to Herod describes Jesus' commitment. He will do what he understands his purpose is, and he will not alter that because of the opposition of a human being. So we reflect further about the fox in the story, Herod. It is entirely possible that Herod wanted to kill Jesus. The same Herod that had earlier killed John the Baptist, and had wondered who this Jesus was, considering that Jesus might somehow be John the Baptist come back to life. Luke tells us in chapter 9 that Herod was perplexed about Jesus, the things that he heard about Jesus and what he was observing. And he really did want to see Jesus. While this sounds innocent, we know that Herod had acted cruelly and violently in the past, and that makes it entirely possible, and perhaps even likely, that Herod actually did want to kill Jesus. And if so, then he was that hunting and pursuing fox. He was out to catch and kill Jesus. Now that would normally bring about some fear for the hunted person. The other text we brought that we read this morning also brings fear to mind. In Psalm chapter 27, traditionally understood as authored by King David of Israel, the psalmist begins with fear. He says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now perhaps it's more correct to say that the psalmist begins with the idea of fear. He seems to indicate that he doesn't fear in dangerous situations because he thinks of God's presence with him. He continues in the next verses to consider the possibility of evil men advancing against him in order to devour his flesh. Enemies and foes can attack him. Armies can besiege him. And war can break out against him. And still, he will not fear. Now, if you're like me, you ask yourself, is this for real? Can the psalmist truly conquer fear in his heart when all manner of violence threatens to break out against him? Because I know I'm not like that. I know that there are occasions in life and people in life that can truly frighten me. I can't get to the place that the psalmist describes, a place of no fear. Now that phrase, no fear, reminds me of an incident in Guatemala when I lived there. A stranger walked up to me on the street, caught my attention and started talking to me and asking me what no fear meant. And it caught me by surprise a little bit. I tried to understand what he was saying, and then I thought, oh yeah, there's that truck parked over there on the side of the street that's got no fear emblazoned across the windshield. And he's got it figured out that there is no word in Spanish like that. He doesn't know what fear means. And I realized, and of course it was an English phrase, no fear, on the top of the truck. So I figured that out, and then I tried to explain to him what this phrase, and it was a pretty common phrase at that point, I think, in the English language in North America, and I tried to explain to him what the sense of that phrase was. And it also reminded me at that point that this phrase was emblazoned across a number of trucks and buses that drove the highways in Guatemala, and the drivers of these trucks and buses typically drove as if that was their understanding about life and their motto, which of course increased the fear of other people. Now that story is told in an attempt to be interesting, but it reminds us that likely none of us get to the place of no fear in life. I suspect that the psalmist doesn't really get there either. I suspect he's expressing an idea, an ideal, that he doesn't really entirely get to. In verses later in the same Psalms, verses that Elizabeth read in our time of, and also verses that she's going to read again in our time of confession after the sermon, the psalmist begs for God's presence and help. He doesn't sound quite as confident and composed then. When we consider the possibility of fear in connection with the idea that foxes cause fear, we think about the foxes in our lives. Sometimes the foxes in our lives are people, and sometimes they can be situations. And all appear dangerous to us. All threaten peaceful, secure life. When a neighbor threatens our well-being over a perceived offense, and maybe it has to do with offense, when an important family relationship looks to be on the verge of crumbling, when job loss seems imminent, or when we're faced with a medical diagnosis of a terminal cancer, life can be terrifying. The focus statement for this day in the Lent material we're using for this series speaks of dark fear overwhelming us. The use of the word dark to describe fear is apt. Darkness has a way of evoking fear. And Elizabeth brought that to our attention with the lights here on our feature, our display. When we're in that darkness of fear, we search for a way out. We look for light. We search for escape from that fox. When you live being hunted by a fox, you need some kind of shelter. It seems ironic to think of the shelter that we would go to as being symbolized by a chicken, considering what a chicken usually symbolizes. But the next paragraph of the text in Luke leads us precisely to that thought. I suppose it is because Jesus has just spoken the thought that no prophet could die outside of Jerusalem that its focus turns toward Jerusalem in this story. Jesus utters a lament for Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place that has killed the prophets and stoned those that have been sent to it, he says. It seems clear from his words that Jesus wishes that it would have been different in Jerusalem, that Jerusalem would have gladly received the prophets that God had sent and would have heeded their words. Instead, Jerusalem has rejected the prophets. Jesus then says that he has often longed to gather the people of Jerusalem together and to bring them into his shelter, the way that a hen gathers her chicks under its wings. And when I think about what Jesus means with that statement, I suppose he thinks of bringing them into connection and relationship with him. They have rejected God's prophets before him, and now they're rejecting him. They're not willing to be gathered together into God's work that is occurring in Jesus. And Jesus then lets them know that he will not force the issue. He says that their house is left to them desolate if they will not recognize the work that God is doing through Jesus on earth and come into that work. Then he will allow them to choose their own desolation. When he says that they will not see him again until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," at the end of the section, we're not quite sure what he might be referring to, but probably he intends to say to them that they will in the end recognize him as the one sent by God. They can reject him now, but one day they will come to see who he is. So Jesus then is calling Jerusalem to respond positively to him, but he's noting that they have not responded positively to God historically. Like a hen calls its chicks into its secure embrace, Jesus has wanted to enfold Jerusalem in his secure embrace, but they have not been willing to come. It seems to me that Jesus doesn't use the hen and chick metaphor to speak of shelter as much as he does of belonging, but still, the metaphor of God relating to humans as a hen does to its chicks has meaning for us when we think of our need for shelter from the humans or the situations in our lives that hunt us. Thinking of God's relationship with humans as being like that of a hen sheltering its chicks is consistent with other biblical literature. The Psalms contain a number of instances where the writer speaks of finding shelter under the wings of God. I find it meaningful to think of God as a sheltering God here in this passage because it functions so well in contrast to Herod, the fox, who would destroy God's work on earth. I wondered this week as I pondered this text and wrote these words whether there is another application to be made about our response to fear from the example of Jesus. Could it be that we are able to conquer fear at times and find the shelter that we desire by simply carrying on what we are convinced are the right ways to live when we face frightening circumstances? We know how God has called us to live as we observe Jesus, and we follow it resolutely in the face of fear. We can truly say that Jesus did that. That's reflected in this passage. Is that also a way for us to get through fear with God at our side? I leave that for your consideration. And then we conclude by thinking about the shelter that God offers. Like a hen that opens its wings to offer a place of shelter to its chicks, God gives us shelter throughout life. We all experience situations in life when we feel hunted, as a chicken might be hunted by a fox. Our security, peace, and well-being are threatened. The Bible tells us that we can count on God's shelter in those circumstances. In many cases, God's shelter doesn't remove the frightening circumstances, and we don't always understand God's shelter or recognize it when it occurs, but God promises its presence in our lives. God's sheltering presence is constant, and we trust it as we continue to live our purpose of following Jesus resolutely in life, just as Jesus continued on toward his purpose in the face of Herod's threat. Let's pray. Our sheltering God, we're grateful for this reminder from the text for today, that in the times that we feel insecure and threatened, you're present with us. We know that we still have to go through some awfully hard times, but you've promised to be present with us. Your shelter is there, alongside, over, and around us. We're grateful, and may we continue on in our purpose of following Jesus with that present and secure in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
We now come to the part of the service where we're going to do the confession and reconciliation. And I hope you've taken the time to read the little note in the bulletin, just explaining a little bit about the confession ritual that we're going to be doing each of the Sundays in Lent. Hopefully that will help alleviate some confusion. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Who will seek the Lord today?
We're seeking the Lord for the shelter. I thought there was sort of almost a perfect song in my repertoire for this, because it is a song based on Psalm chapter 27. It's very simple. We're not asking you to sing with us, but you will know the words because they are the last two verses of Psalm chapter 27. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So wait for the Lord and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord and be strong. That's all the words of the song. It's written by a writer, songwriter named Bryn Haworth about 35 years ago. And hopefully you appreciate it. But it's a bit of a rousing song. Hope that's all right.
Of the living.
Let's turn together in our bulletins and read the response. We are all invited to seek the Lord today. Let us bring ourselves to God in prayer.
Sheltering God, we seek you, for you alone are our light and salvation. When darkness moves into our lives, we seek your face.
When fears overcome us and paralyze us, we seek your face. When our souls hunger for your shelter, we seek your face.
In the morning and in the evening, we will seek the face of our God.
Our generous God provides for us.
So we have one more song to conclude that thematic idea. Song written and recorded by the band Third Day, and you know you've heard me do some of their music before, but not this song. And I thought that Third Day was in the biblical text for today too, so it was interesting, I thought. It's a prayer to God, take my life, let it heal, take my faith and make it real. Continuing on, and it's Don't Let Me Go is the title of the song. Take my life and let it heal. Take my faith and make it real. Take my eyes and help me see all the love surrounding me. Trials and take my pain, take my life and let it be all that you would have for me.
I invite you to stand for the benediction and also for the closing song. As we go forth from this place, be assured that our citizenship is in heaven, and that the Lord Jesus Christ heals the wounds of our world by his transforming power. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen. Let's turn together in the Brown Hymnal to number 575, Under His Wings I'm Safely Abiding, and we'll sing all three verses.